the war against the remaining natives in the national liberation movements that the Palestinians established around the world. Israel, its allies in the West, and some regional Arab countries have managed to corrupt the leadership of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, or the PLO, now known as the Fatah Party, and entice them with the promise of power at the expense of liberty for their own people. This eventually neutralized and transformed the PLO into a liberation movement which collaborates with the occupier. The focus then shifted to Hamas, a movement which won legislative elections nearly 3 years ago and thus became a target for the Israelis. By enforcing an embargo and allowing Israel's siege of Gaza, the world has effectively told the Palestinians that they are unfit for democracy. By informing them that they are not free to choose the leaders that they trust but must conform to the requirements set in place by others, the world community is only further isolating and radicalizing the Palestinians. This radicalization has increased several fold as Israel pounds Palestinian infrastructure, saying it's solely targeting Hamas targets. This is not true. However, Israeli forces have targeted Palestinian police forces, in addition to mosques, schools, and even hospitals. During the five-minute blitz of bombing a week ago Saturday, which killed 200 Palestinians, a five-minute bombing raid, one particular bomb took out 50 Palestinian police officers who were engaged in traffic control training. Israeli bombs also assassinated Shafiq Jabbar, the chief of police, a former PLO and Fatah official who stayed on in his post after Hamas took control of Gaza. If Hamas is weakened, it will not be a more moderate Palestinian group which will take the helm, as many expect. It will not be the weak and corrupted and unpopular Fatah, but a more extreme group who've been persuaded through blockades and incessant Israeli attacks that compromise and negotiations with Tel Aviv are ill-fated.
This is Jenka Soderberg live in the studio, Chris Andre as well. We are trying to bring you an update from the Gaza Strip, where the Israeli government has announced plans to disrupt the telecommunications. This comes after their decision to keep journalists out. Rami, do you think that the attempts to disrupt telecommunications and the difficulty that we've had, I'm talking now with Rami Elmaghari by phone from Gaza, do you think that the problems we've had in getting in touch with you and other reporters there in Gaza has to do with the Israeli government trying to disrupt telecommunications in the region?
Yeah, it could be, Jenka, actually. It could be, because you know that Israeli authorities have blocked the entry of foreign journalists into Gaza since the Israeli army started its offensives on the Gaza Strip more than one week ago, last Saturday, actually. So this could be that Israel tries to black out the situation and the facts on the ground, because the reports say that there are, since Israel started its operations, the reports say that hundreds of people have been killed, and mainly civilian population, mainly civilian residents, and also more than 2,300 others have been wounded so far. According to Israeli army spokesman, to one of the local Gaza media outlets here, a local news agency here in Gaza, the Israeli army spokesperson said that Israel has carried out so far 800,000 air raids targeting 1,000 targets, hitting 1,000 targets in the Gaza Strip, which is a very small coastal area, just about 360 square kilometers. So this could be really, Jenka.
You know, One of the things that has come up mainly in the mainstream media is that Israel is just responding to homemade shells, what they call rockets, being fired from the Gaza Strip. But what that leaves out is the very brutal reality of the life in the Gaza Strip, living imprisoned under siege in the Gaza Strip. And I just wonder if you could describe for our audience, just so anyone who hasn't heard this will know, what people in Gaza have been facing, that this is not an Israeli response to rocket fire, but it is in fact an escalation of an ongoing siege and warfare on Gaza.
This is a pretty, well, pretty nice what you said. This is really true, 100%. As the rocket fire or the homemade shell, the homemade rockets that are being fired from Gaza into nearby Israeli areas has been there for the past several years. It's not the first time that the Israeli attack Gaza for the rocket fire. There have been some sort of ceasefires, but shaky ceasefires, fragile ceasefires, and now Israel is attacking massively, really massively, the Gaza Strip. So the situation is not only represented in Hamas or in Fatah or any other group in Gaza. This is a sort of occupation, a dilemma, or the equation is. The equation of occupied people and their occupation, their occupiers. Israel is an occupying power that is strictly closing Gaza for the past 18 months, more than 18 months actually, since Oslo process. There has been no real Palestinian authority on the ground, only a sort of limited autonomous, that has been created by the Oslo process and the peace process. So there is the main dilemma, the main question, the main equation here in the ground is the equation of occupied people and their occupiers, which are Israel. So the rocket fire is considered by the Palestinians as a sort of reaction. Not the Israeli action now is a response, but already the Palestinian actions are a response. Are natural, the Palestinians consider it as a natural and legitimate response to the continued Israeli occupation of their land, continued Israeli attacks on their homes, on their life, on their economy, on their borders, on their sea, on their land, on everything. So this is the root cause of the problem now that is going on the ground. Israel, you say, the American media saying, that Israel is responding. Actually, there has been a ceasefire. I'd like to be precise and to talk about latest events and latest developments. For the past 6 months, in June 2008, Egypt or Egyptian officials brokered a sort of ceasefire deal between Israel and Gaza-based Palestinian factions. And unfortunately, just 4 months after the ceasefire was declared, I mean particularly in November 4, the Israeli army attacked Gaza. In November 4 of last year, 2008, Israeli army attacked Gaza and killed more than six Hamas fighters in the central part of the Gaza Strip, thus prompting Gaza-based Palestinian factions to respond with their stereotype homemade, really homemade, crudely made homemade shells against Israeli towns. So the first one who violated the ceasefire, the first party who violated the ceasefire, which has been brokered by Egyptians, which is the Egyptians are a major and a key player in the region. So the Israelis attacked and violated the ceasefire, just bushing up the Palestinians to respond, as the killings were horrible. Not only six Hamas fighters were killed in that time, also about 21 people, including the fighters, have been killed. Most of those killed were civilians. So how can you consider these things, Vinny? Can you imagine that an occupied people that is being attacked, that occupied people that are being attacked, are being shield are being blockaded, and their borders are closed. Their economy is mostly destroyed. What can they do? This is the problem, the main problem, the root cause of the problem now that is going on the ground is the problem of the Israeli occupation, which is not ending. So I think that Israel has tried several times to attack Gaza for the past several years. The most recent was in 2008 when Israel attacked the northern parts of the Gaza Strip under the pretext of stopping homemade shells or homemade rocket fire into nearby Israeli towns. Can you hear the bombing right now, Jinka? In the background, there is bombing around me nearby.
Yes, we heard that.
Anyway, so that's the situation, actually, that Israel is attacking Gaza from time to time under the pretext of stopping homemade rocket fire. The Egyptians recently has given both sides, the Gaza-based factions and Israel, Egypt has given them the chance to work out such a ceasefire and to continue and to build up on this for the sake of finding some sort of a peaceful and nonviolent prospects for the solution of the conflict between Palestinians and Israelis in general. But actually, what I really notice from the Israeli actions this time, that Israel is seemingly determined to destroy a rule in Gaza or a regime in Gaza that has taken power through elections, through democratic means. I mean here the Hamas, the ruling Hamas party in Gaza. As you know, Hamas has been shunning peace talks with Israel, has always been shunning peace talks with Israel until the Israeli occupation, its attacks on both Gaza and the West Bank. You know, that's why Israel has been isolating Hamas, has been waging a sort of media campaign against this party, this Palestinian party, for the sake of toppling it, for the sake of bringing it down and ending its rule in the Gaza Strip, which Israel hates, which Israel doesn't like or dislike. This is really an unprecedented situation, what is going on the ground. This is a real war that is being waged by Israel against not only Hamas. Unfortunately, it's not attacking Hamas or targeting Hamas. Ironically, the Israeli warplanes have recently dropped leaflets on the Gaza areas, on the Gaza residents, warning them of dealing with Hamas. This is ironic, really, because 50% of the Palestinians here who choose Hamas in the elections, whether in the West Bank, in the Gaza Strip, are supporting Hamas. They are warning the people, and they are telling the people that they are not targeting Hamas. They are not targeting them. They are targeting Hamas. And this is really ridiculous. Really ridiculous. But what is going on the ground, on the contrary, in the contrary of Israeli media campaign, Israeli media saying to the people and to the world, is really contradictory, as the people here are being victimized by the Israeli attacks continuously, by air raids and by land attacks, invasions, and also tanks shelling. Today, actually, Jenka, as a reporter, I have just met some people in the Middle area who have been recently displaced from their houses. This is a sort of internal displacement of the Palestinians out of the Israeli shelling and Israeli attacks on them. These Palestinians have been placed in UNRWA schools, in United Nations Relief and Works and Agency schools. These people are thousands. They are being placed in the schools because they have fled the Israeli attacks on their households, on their neighborhoods, and the nearby in southern Gaza City. About 80% of one small village in southern Gaza, 80% of the population have been forced out of their houses because of the Israeli continued shelling every minute by the sea, by the land, and by the air. So who knows? Maybe I am displaced one day or one moment as I am talking with you now. Maybe you can't find me anymore. So everybody, Jinka, is being exposed to danger, exposed to Israeli attacks, because Gaza is a very limited area. Gaza is a very small area. It's not a big or a huge country. It doesn't have shelters or underground refuge, safe shelters like many other countries in the world, while Israelis, who are being as exposed to some homemade rocket fire, crudely made rocket fire, are having the underground tunnels and something like that to hide in out of the of these attacks. This is really a sort of imbalanced war, unfair war that is being waged in the name of homemade rocket fire, which has not stopped despite the repeated Israeli attacks on Gaza for the past several years. This really raises a very good question, a very important question, that this situation, this equation, this issue, Israeli occupation and the Palestinian occupied people should come to an end through peaceful means, and that's really what needs to be done now, not tomorrow, sooner or later. And really, we are helpful as Palestinians, whether we are journalists or any or local residents. We're just hopeful that this situation, this madness, comes to an end and peace prevails in this region. That's really enough, 60 years of occupation, 40 years of being occupied in the West Bank and Gaza, refuge after refuge, sheltering after sheltering. Where to go? Where do the people go? Where do the Palestinians in Gaza go? To go to the sea? Just west of them is the sea, and east of them is the Israeli borders. And just south of them is Egypt, and Egypt closes its borders. So where to go this time, the Palestinians? They want us to jump into the sea. They want us to vanish from the sea once and for all. Let me just recall a saying by the late Israeli Prime Minister when he just dreamed that he wakes up one day and finds out that Gaza has been swallowed by its sea. Maybe that's what the Israelis want, unfortunately. And this is really untrue. This is really unfair. This is really injustice in a world which is calling itself a world of civilization and democracy and civil rights.
Rami, Chris Andre here. I have a question for you. It seems, from what you're describing, that if Hamas hadn't already existed, that Israel, it's sort of like Israel's golem. They needed some entity like Hamas in order to justify what is really beginning to look more and more like a genocide. It seems to be an excuse to simply bomb indiscriminately in densely populated civilian areas, which my question for you is, when this ends, whatever the outcome, what will the roles of Hamas and Fatah be when the region emerges from this terrible, terrible massacre? What will remain, and what would be the configuration?
What will remain? Will remain the people. People remain. People steadfast. People are the soul of this land. Really, whether Hamas or Fatah or any other party in Palestine, Palestine is not represented in Hamas, neither represented in Fatah or any other party. This is a sort of continuation of people's life, people who are committed, who are sticking to their homeland, who are sticking to their rights, to their legitimate rights. So whether Hamas or Fatah or anybody else, generations after generations, the Palestinians are bearing their situation. The Palestinians are holding their request, are holding their legitimacy throughout the ages, throughout the years. So this will continue. Palestinians will keep up, whether there is Hamas or Fatah or anybody else. If Israel continues its occupation, there would be no horizon for any solution on the ground other than the political solution. Israel needs to recognize the people's rights, the people's legitimate right to live in peace and security alongside with the Israelis. We're a people who are just hoping that we live as peacefully as any other people in the world. So this suffering should come to an end. There are many solutions on the horizon. They can pick up the solution they that suits them, that suits us. So there will be a sort of conciliation in the end. But violence, let me just end by saying, violence only ends violence. Violence only breeds violence. That's what I can say, Jinka.
Do you suppose, Rami, again, this is Chris, just very briefly, there has been talk that there is a very critical Israeli election coming up, and all of the major players are vying with one another to appear very tough and militaristic. Is that to what extent is that election hovering over in the future playing a role in the conflict?
Yeah, absolutely, and this is one of the reasons that in which by which Israel launched its recent war in Gaza. The Israelis are now competing, the Israeli leaders and the politicians are competing in the elections very hotly and very highly, just on the blood of the Palestinians. This is unfortunate, and this is a repeated stereotype of Israeli politics throughout the past years. I'd like to remind you with one important thing, that the Labour Party in Israel, that it was the party that initiated peace talks with the Palestinians, the party that signed the Oslo Peace Accords. But fortunately, when the uprising in 2000 broke out after the failure of Camp David, there was a heat. There was a sort of heat of elections. The elections were on heat at that time. Barak was responsible, was the prime minister at that time, and he launched the crackdown on the Palestinian Intifada in 2000. And he launched it because he was thinking that he will gain some election election gains at that time. There was Sharon, the Likud party, which was against peace, which has been against peace with the Palestinians, against the Oslo process. So when he wanted to come to the elections, his platform was cracking down, was destroying the Palestinian Intifada, and that's why that he won the elections. And when he came to power, declared the Oslo process as dead, and then the violence came again to the region once again, and finally the late leader who won the Nobel Peace Prize was finally isolated by Sharon and attacked on his compound office in Ramallah City for more than 2 years, just in one room, just because he didn't accept the peace under Israel's terms. That's the game of elections in Israel, which we are suffering from, and it comes at the expense of our beloved ones, our blood, our rights, and our legitimate coexistence on this part of the world.
Again, we're speaking with Rami Al-Maghari in Gaza, speaking with us from Maghazi refugee camp. We are also joined by KBU correspondent and reporter Saed Banoura. Both of you work with the International Middle East Media Center, which provides daily English language updates from the West Bank and Gaza. The website for that is imemc.org. That's International Middle East Media Center, imemc.org. And I just want to bring Saed in on some of this political question and the question of the peace process that Rami mentioned. Now, one of the things that often gets left out of this history or of this telling of history is that after the Oslo Accords were signed in 1993, 1 million people, settlers mainly, moved into Israel. And I wonder if you could just talk about the expansion of settlements that led to the second Intifada or uprising that began in 2000, particularly between 1993 and 2000, and 1993, of course, when the Oslo Accord was signed.
Well, after the Oslo Agreement was signed, and supposedly we were moving towards peace in the region.
At what time? I am in an interview right now.
Go ahead, Syed.
So what happened is that we witnessed the largest expansion of settlements during the so-called calm period, which followed the peace agreements between the Palestinian Liberation Organization and Israel. If Israel had real and serious intentions for peace, they would not have been expanding the settlements, building new settlements, annexing more lands, and bringing more settlers into the occupied West Bank. The settlers who were evacuated from the Gaza Strip were also moved into the West Bank. Settlers from Europe and different parts of the world were brought and moved into the West Bank. And we are talking about colonies, about more land grab from the Palestinians, more land annexation in order to place those settlers. Besides that, there are several settler groups that are active in the occupied West Bank, and of course they are armed. They go and they occupy lands owned by the Palestinians illegally. They don't have any official documents. They go, they occupy the lands, they make their illegal outposts, and then in an Israeli report which was published like a couple of months ago, they said and confessed that dozens of illegal outposts were financed by Israeli officials in the government and then later on were turned into quote-unquote legitimate settlements. And this is another one of the millions of Israeli violations, not only practiced by the settlers, but also practiced by their leadership and their political leaders who are controlling the government.
It seems that is the tragedy that's the hallmark of this whole terrible saga in world history. It's a shame and it's a disgrace. I picture families who've lived on land with olive groves generation after generation. Their grandparents are buried on the land, perhaps. Their children grew up there. And all of a sudden, it's just snatched away from them by people who have no connection to it. Can you talk a bit, Syed, about what this does to children growing up in these conditions, what they must feel? Their experience is definitely going to color their attitudes towards, well, the Israelis and the Western world. Talk about the children growing up in this environment.
Okay, first I will start with just a small example before I move to this issue. Look at what happened to the natives in this country, to the Indians, to the Native Americans, how they were massive genocide against them, how they were deported, how they were killed, how their lands were taken, and what the effects that had on them and on their tribes, although they are the natives and the real owners of this country. For Palestine, I wanna mention that there have been several reports. For example, DCI, the Defense for Children International, and several human rights groups working in Palestine published various reports and studies which indicated that there are thousands of children who are suffering from anemia, who are suffering from psychological conditions, who are having nightmares, who cannot learn anymore due to the crimes that they are witnessing on a daily basis due to the shelling. Before this invasion and offensive, this criminal offensive against Gaza, before it started, years before that, there have been schools that were shelled while the children were there. And we had children who died while they were sitting on their school desks. So you can imagine what kind of effect that would have on their friends and on their colleagues. Those crimes have been committed and are still being committed by Israel, while the international community sheds a blind eye and just ignores what's going on over there. We hear all of those voices condemning the Palestinian fighters who are firing home missiles because some civilians were wounded on the Israeli side. Come to Palestine and see the thousands of children who were killed, the thousands of children who were maimed, the thousands of children who are now suffering from psychological conditions. Those aren't counted as part of the casualties because the world chose to ignore them because they are blindly following Israeli media and corporate media in the United States.
I also want to ask Rami this question. Rami Al-Mughari, of course, in Gaza. Rami, you yourself are a father of three children. Your son, four children. I remember your baby was born last year. How is this impacting your children to have to live under these nightly and daily shellings and the Israeli attack?
This is really a good question, Jinka. The children are the most traumatized part of the Palestinian society. They are not having, they are not living their childhood as many other children around the world. This is really unfortunate. Every time they get up every day on screens, TV screens that showing the blood, they get up every day on the sound of rockets and Israeli shelling. They get up every day on some death in the street, some funeral processions, and blood is being shed. And this is really affecting their life. Even, you know, let me just say something. My little son who was born last year, my little son 2 years ago, he is 2 years old, he holds a plastic gun, and he just moves it with his hands. I'm really scared about his future. I'm scared about the violence that is being imprinted in his mind and the minds of other children in Palestine. We are people who are civil. We don't want suffering. We don't want more bloodshed. That's really what we want. But the Israelis do not allow us to do so. Since For the past four decades, Israeli actions, Israeli killings have not stopped. I myself experienced during my childhood the Israeli atrocities, the Israeli killings, the Israeli actions during the First Intifada in 1987 or more before 1987. This is a sort of accumulated suffering, accumulated impact being inflicted by the Israeli occupation. That is really unfair. It is actually unfair that a people being driven towards violence. I told you, violence only generates violence. Can you imagine that the children grow up on violence all the time from generation to another? How can you expect this? So the Israeli violence is very severe and very strong. That drives the people of Gaza, children, women, men, and everybody, to be outraged. Outraged due to this occupation. Outraged due to this suffering, to this injustice that Israel is trying to impose on a civilian population. They are being outraged. Now the suffering, now the actions that Israel is doing against Gaza. It's really some sort of uniting the people against one party, one target, the Israeli occupation. Because they already know that Israel doesn't care to Hamas or Fatah or anybody else. It only cares to those who want peace according to legitimacy, according to international resolutions. But they are siding with those. Israel might support those who want a peace under Israel's terms. A peace just for security, not for land. And this is unfair, absolutely. People of Palestine have been occupied. people of Palestine have been occupied and their lands are occupied. So when these lands are given back to them, there should be peace between Israel and Palestinians. But until these lands are not given back, what kind of peace Israel wants? Now, Israel is expanding settlements in the West Bank, is using the peace negotiations in a way that is helping it, serving its own ambitions, aspiration in this part of the land. Now it's blockading the cities. It's building a new settlement in the West Bank. So what kind of peace Israel wants? Israel peace is based on the one main principle, one main formula, land for peace, which has been there for decades. Now Israel is repudiating such formula or such a principle and just limiting the conflict with the Palestinians to some sort of parties, some sort of factions, and just giving the excuses and the pretext in order to strike the Palestinian people further and further and repudiate further from its peace obligations that are there and that are involved in the peace process, in the peace agreements, in the international resolutions, in the humanitarian law. That's what's really going on, just peace for security. That's what Israel is imposing on the Palestinians for the time being, and for the past several years, actually.
Well, and it's interesting that Israel as a state has never defined its own border and has continually expanded since its creation in 1948.
Yes, of course. That's not the situation that's going on the ground. They want to perpetuate this conflict in order to get more land, in order to expand their settlements, in order to further occupy lands of Palestinians, to further vanish the Palestinians, and just give them small parts, Bantu states, or just disconnected or dismembered towns, villages, and refugee camps in the West Bank and Gaza. Now Israel is dismembering Gaza into two parts is dismembering it, one in the south and one in the north. That's Israeli policy for many years now. They don't want us to live as normally, as geographically and politically connected or united as normal.
Well, thank you very much, Rami Almagari. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. And again, this is a live report from Gaza. We've been speaking with Rami Almagari, and we've also been speaking with KABU reporter Saed Banoura, who is here in Portland, has lived in Palestine most of his life, and was injured, as some of our regular listeners know, by the Israeli army himself in a peaceful demonstration in 1991, in which he was shot and paralyzed by the Israeli army. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much.
And we'll go out this hour with some audio from this weekend's protest in Portland. We have both Maxine Fuchsen of No More Victims and Saed Banoura speaking at the protest.
I wanted to make a few comments. My name's Maxine, and I'm here as an American Jew. I feel it is so, so important from the bottom of my heart and my conscience to be here in support of the Palestinians and the people of Gaza. I also am here because just a month ago in Portland, we said goodbye to a injured six-year-old Mustafa Abed from Fallujah, Iraq. Mustafa was injured by those same dollars that are killing children in Gaza right now. It's the U.S. dollars. Mustafa was very, very severely injured in a bombing in Fallujah. He lost a leg, he lost most of his intestines, he lost his kidney. He was here, probably many of you remember, but I feel like I'm here for Mustafa and for the children of Gaza. because this is such an unjust situation. It's such an unjust thing. All of us are here. I just wish that more of my Jewish brothers and sisters were here. I'm so ashamed that they're not. I'm so, so sad that the Jewish value of righteousness and justice are so blinded, so, so blinded by the actions of Israel. So please know that there are American Jews who support you, who support the Gazans, who support Palestine, who say end the occupation now, and justice and peace for all Gazans, and especially for the children who are starving and dying.
We gather here to raise our voice against the ongoing Israeli military crimes against our people in Gaza. They surrounded Gaza. They forced the children to die. Every day before this ongoing crime, every day there were patients dying in Gaza because hospitals had nothing more to give to the residents. Hospitals ran out of medical supplies, equipment, medicines, and yet the Israeli siege continues and intensifies by a military campaign against the innocent people in Gaza by bombarding their hospitals, their schools, their mosques, their universities, their streets, their houses. Every day we have innocent children dying, women, elderly, everybody is dying in Gaza because the Israeli army is shelling us with US donated missiles. It's our role to say enough. Enough to the American government support to Israel.
Enough!
Enough to the American occupation of Iraq.
Enough!
Enough to the Israeli occupation of Palestine.
Enough!
We have to raise our voice and say we will not tolerate it anymore. We will take off to the streets. We will protest. We will raise our voice. We will reject the occupation. We will reject all sorts of military warfare against the people. And from here, I also want to say that we also reject the corporate media. The corporate media which covers the lies. The huge corporate media agencies here are lying to you on daily basis. We gather here to say to our brothers and sisters in Gaza that we are with you. We support you. We support the revolution. We support the resistance. And we support resisting the occupation until Palestine is free. Until Iraq is free, until the domination is over.
And those were excerpts from Friday's protest in Portland against the Israeli attacks in Gaza. Ongoing coverage will continue here on KBOO. Keep your radio tuned right here. Now we go to the news headlines from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem, followed by the Hillbilly Noontime Jamboree. It's 12 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO FM in Portland.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Monday, January 5th, 2009. The Israeli military offensive in